Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 59. I'm just sitting here, man. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 59. Being recorded on September the 1st, 2016, brought to you by RayRay.net and being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. My name is Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray. And if you haven't heard this podcast before, I'm a longtime NBA online writer, so you're usually going to get a lot of basketball talk here. But I also like to dive into other interesting topics like football, baseball, wrestling, video games, pop culture, social issues, just life in general, which makes this podcast so fundamental. In this episode, we're going to talk to Robert Littal of Black Sports Online. We're going to talk about the Colin Kaepernick issue. If you don't already know, the San Francisco 49ers quarterback didn't stand for a national anthem and only got noticed by the third time. And now everyone's a patriot or something. We discuss about how a lot of people seem to miss the why is he doing it part, instead concentrating on what is he doing part. Rob is also a WWE fan, so of course we go over to Kevin Owens' WWE Universal title win, as well as an ESPN personality making fun of Kevin Owens' child on Twitter. Also, since the show has ended, I'm also going to add an old recording that I did with Adam Reisinger of ESPN. We're going to talk about Pretty Little Liars. Keep in mind that we recorded that month ago, while we talk about how we ended up falling into that show. And before we get started, just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Rary.net and on Stitcher. And it's been syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter at TheNoloCast. Follow the podcast Twitter at RayRayIsFun. So I'm done here. Let's get started. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 59, recorded on September the 1st, 2016. Joining me, good friend of mine, longtime supporter of this podcast and the No Look Pass, the CEO of Black Sports Online, BSL Entertainment, Drift Drop Podcast, Breaking Lamps, what happened to that one? Robert Littal, what's up?
Yeah, I got to, the brand got too big for Breaking Lamps. It was a little too hot for TV.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a long time ago. I don't know why I just remembered that. Yeah, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, I can't complain. You know, since the last time we talked, I think it was probably maybe last time, you know, last year, I should say.
Yeah.
Things are going well. You know, we're progressing, you know, trying to fight the good fight for all the things in media and doing what we can to help out. So I'm glad you have me back. It's one of my favorite podcasts to come on because we keep it real when you're with Ray Ray.
We do. Speaking of fighting the good fight, the big elephant, T-Rex, whatever you want to call it in the room, Colin Kaepernick. Not only did he not stand up during the national anthem, but now he's making headways for wearing socks that have cops being depicted as pigs. And of course, the media's overreaction, oh my god, why are you talking about the police like that? I mean, they're missing a big point here, aren't they?
Well, absolutely, but here's the thing about that. You know, and it's interesting to me because Kaepernick has been talking about these social issues pretty much all summer going into fall. If you've been watching his social media feeds, and it's not been like subtle. He's been very direct about how he was feeling. He sat down for the national anthem in the first couple of preseason games, and no one noticed. Didn't make a big deal out of it. Wasn't trying to bring attention to himself. And then, you know, the media gets a hold of it because nothing gets past us these days. Just kind of a random photo and someone sees it and next, you know, it goes to Pro Football Talk. And what I found interesting was when, you know, they asked him about it. They just asked him a question. He gives honest answers and he gave an honest answer of why he was doing it. And then, you know, that was followed up by the longer press, you know, media scrum where he really gets into why he was doing it. The Sox, you know, ironically were, you know, a few weeks ago. So he was doing all of this stuff without looking for any attention. And, you know, now all the attention, you know, is on him. So we're at a situation where what is really important here? Is the how he's feeling frustrated and how he's letting out those frustrations, be it the Sox with the cops on it or sitting down for the national anthem, is that more important than why he's frustrated? The police brutality, the racial inequality, the treatment of minorities in this country. You know, that to me is the main issue here, is that we have way too many people more upset with the methods than they are the message. And I get, you know, disagreeing with the methods. I wouldn't wear socks, you know, like that. That's just me personally. Do I stand up for the national anthem? Yes, I do. I stand up for the national anthem because I do believe there's good in this country. And to me, when you're thinking about the good people in the country, sometimes, you know, even if you don't want to let the bad people win, so to speak, you know, so to me, you know, by sitting, that's, you know, not respecting the good people in this country. Now, that's just me. But to me, that's a small portion of the message. And the message, if you're a minority or a black person, you know, has been going on for a long period of time. And it's very frustrating to see people ignore it.
Yeah. And I find it really funny that guys like Drew Brees have said, well, you know, the military died to have, you know, our freedom and rights. But yet he's telling Kaepernick not to use his freedom and rights. I find that really funny. You know what I mean? Like... that's what he's doing. Like he's using his freedom and his rights not to stand up for the national anthem, and that's perfectly fine with me. Why does it ruffle your feathers?
You know what I mean? The thing about Drew Brees, which I thought was so interesting, and you know, sometimes when you're talking, you're talking faster than you're thinking. Maybe your brain is not moving, you know, or your mouth is moving a lot faster than your brain. But if you really break down what he says, what he's talking about is not freedom. He's talking about oppression. Because what he's saying is that, yes, you have these freedoms, you know, but only use them how I want you to use them. You know what I mean? You only can use the freedoms when I like the way that you're using the freedoms. To me, that's like oppression. When you supposedly are free, but then someone is like, no, but you're free, but only to an extent. And to me, that's the big thing. It's like, okay, I can disagree about whatever he's doing. We're all free to have opinions on that. But if I'm Drew Brees, if I'm all of these other people that are talking about him, I would love for them to spend as much time saying how disrespectful he is and all of this. I would love for them to spend that much time to talk about how disrespectful it is for cops to, you know, pull over black people just for being black. I would love for them to talk about how disrespectful it is for a black person not to walk around a mall and be followed. I would love for them to talk about how disrespectful it is someone like Leslie Jones or Gabby Douglas gets treated on social media. If they would spend as much time talking about that type of disrespect as they did about, you know, the act of Colin Kaepernick, you know, then maybe it wouldn't rub me so much the wrong way. But all I'm hearing is about all of the stuff that Kaepernick is disrespectful about. You know, the San Francisco Police Department says they want an apology. Well, I didn't hear apologies from them when those text messages came out of people on the force calling black people animals and N-words and all of that stuff. I don't recall hearing, you know, heartfelt apologies then. So that's what really gets me, is that, fine, you don't like the way he's doing it, that's great. But where are you when all of these other the situations that he's talking about, where are you then? Why aren't you upset about that? Why are you not, you know, why are you not up in arms about what he's talking about? And I'm just not seeing that enough.
Yeah, and it's like Kaepernick's the devil for not standing up to the national anthem. And it's weird to me because, like, As children, right, we're being taught by adults that not everything seems black or white, right? Like, there's always a gray area of why we do things the way we do, right? So, how come we're not following that now? I don't understand that. It's like, how come everything's so black and white all of a sudden? It's like, oh, you didn't stand up. You're an evil man. Like, why can't we just talk about this? Like, there's got to be a reason why he did such a thing, right? So, we're not doing that. And we're not doing a good job with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it frustrates me.
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating that people, if you look at it like this, okay, so most of us, we all stand for the national anthem, okay? So what would take a guy that's, you know, making all this money, that's a quarterback in the NFL, to take this strong of a stance about something? Like, it's not random. Like, you know, people don't randomly, you know, do these type of things unless they really feel strongly about it. Nobody puts their career in jeopardy, you know, just for, you know, just kicks. This man's putting his career in jeopardy. And to me, that's so serious that people be like, well, just take a step back and like, whoa, I mean, he's really upset about this. Why is that? Well, it doesn't take long to do a little research to see why minorities and black people and women and gay people are upset about some of the things that are happening in our country. And if people that are so ticked off about what he did would spend 5, 10, 20 minutes on Google and just type in certain, you know, phrases, I would find it hard to believe that they would be like, oh, well, man, I can understand why he, you know, he did that. Because honestly, I mean, honestly, if we took it at its face value, none of us should be standing, you know, until some of this, you know, was taken care of. Like I said, I think we stand because we recognize everybody's not like that. Everyone is not evil, but it's a lot of bad stuff that's going on in our society, and we really need to acknowledge that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not like Kaepernick's the only guy that supposedly disrespects the national anthem. Brandon Roy did this for a long time, where he'd just go to the locker room during the national anthem. Same thing for Deion Waiters, which was actually, you know, taking notice last year in the playoffs. So, why the selective outrage?
I think, you know, social media brings selective outrage. And also, I think I'll be 100% real with you. I think some media people, specifically, and a lot of people on social media, I don't think they're outraged. I think they see an opportunity to troll and get attention. You know, so when you know, whatever, the Fox News or whoever else, when they're saying all of these things, when Boomer Esiason is saying all of this stuff, I don't think they mean it. You know, the NFL is filled with, or has been filled with, rapists, you know, felons, DUI, drugs, all type of stuff. I can't believe someone like Boomer Esiason would really think that Colin Kaepernick is the worst, you know, most disrespectful person ever in the NFL. I think they say things, and it's a first take, hot take, Skip Bayless type of society now, where we just try to say the most craziest thing so we can get attention. And when a subject like this comes out, instead of having intelligent discussions about it, and let me say, a lot of people are having intelligent discussions about it, you just have those people that just, you know, they got 15 followers and they want to, you know, troll to get some attention, who would just say whatever.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate. This issue will keep going, and now if Kaepernick gets cut, it's going to be an even bigger issue because, well, now you cut me because, you know, there could be accusations of oppression or whatever, you know, even though that may not be the case because Kaepernick's playing pretty poorly during the preseason. So, you know, it's just got to get hotter as the weeks go by, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going away. Let's put it like that, because, like you said, if he does get cut, that's going to bring a whole lot of other attention. You know, I was reading a story from Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report that said that, you know, the 49ers may wait a couple of, you know, weeks, or I don't know, because they have to pay him anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter when they try to do it. They may cut him, or they may put him on the shelf, you know, like RG3. But whatever they do, it's going to linger for the entire season. And what may be more of the, I guess, more of the end game of this is what happens if they do cut him. Will the fact that 31 other teams, are you telling me there's, you know, 31 other quarterbacks that have, you know, been to a Super Bowl, that are physically talented as Colin Kaepernick out there? I mean, I see some of the, and even if you take the backup jobs, now you're talking, you know, 64, you know, quarterbacks. So, you know, some teams have three quarterbacks, so now you're like 72, 73, or whatever. So you have all those quarterbacks. You're telling me not, you know, all of those quarterbacks are better than Colin Kaepernick? Are you telling me a team that has Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder as their quarterbacks now can't use you know, Colin Kaepernick? It's going to be very hard to not piece it together if he's not able to, you know, get a job.
Is there a chance that Kaepernick gets blackballed by the league?
Absolutely. I think the NFL, and I'm not saying that the NFL is racist or anything like that, but what I am saying is that the NFL treats their players like property at times, and they don't want any type of distraction. And unless your talent is very, very above ground, the distraction will a lot of times get you blackballed from the league, even if you've apologized, if you have made a mistake, or you're taking a strong, you know, stance. I make this correlation all the time. If you switch places, if Adrian Peterson switched places with Ray Rice, and, you know, it was Ray Rice, or it was Adrian Peterson that hit a woman, and Ray Rice, you know, beat a kid. You know, the outcome would be the same in the sense that Adrian Peterson would still be playing and Ray Rice wouldn't, you know, because I think it's a talent issue more than anything else. And like you said, because his quarterbacking skills have been subpar lately, that's probably all they need to keep him out of the league and try to have some justification for it. But, you know, we're intelligent enough to know that that's not necessarily the case.
In terms of handing out punishments, or in terms of just having, I guess, I don't know, good people in general, the NFL's a mess. But guess what? Money talks. Mm-hmm. And the league's going to keep going. Because, come on, they make $13, $15 billion a year? I mean, yeah, that's not going away anytime soon. So, yeah.
No. The NFL, here's the thing, the funny thing about the NFL is we will complain, we will be upset, we will not trust them, but, I mean, we get hyped for preseason, you know, football. I mean, the game is great, let's put it like that. All this stuff that's happening outside of the game, you know, it's concerning, but, you know, when the TV's on, there's no better sport, you know, to watch, and I don't know how that gets rectified, that, you know, we need some of these changes to happen outside, you know, off of the field. But, you know, we're always going to watch when, you know, when it's kickoff time.
Right, yeah. NFL kickoff starts on Thursday, and then, of course, the first Sunday of September 11th. So,
this is Robert Littow from the world's most dangerous website, Black Sports Online, and I want you to check out Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. It's the best in the business. It's not none of that BS. It's all about keeping it real and keeping it authentic. So definitely check it out.
To be America, well, at least I know I'm free. And I'm like,
this is Anthony Irwin, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Wrestling. WWE. Are they in a good place now with all these sudden changes, like Kevin Owens is a Universal Champion, Dean Ambrose being a SmackDown Champion, Shinsuke Nakamura, Japanese, WWE's not known for, you know, pushing Japanese superstars, but here they are, he's the NXT Champion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the WWE is in a transition stage. I think, you know, they've done well getting out of that weird stage when they first started the WWE Network. I don't think anyone could have saw what was happening with NXT, which basically gives them like a third, you know, really popular show. I had my concerns about the brand split, but so far so good. I personally would like for, you know, Raw to be 2 hours instead of, you know, three.
Not gonna happen.
I think the only problem that they have is they still have some strange booking at times. Like, you know, SummerSlam was not the best, especially with that ending and things like that. But it hasn't gotten so bad where I'm like, you know, I'm not watching. And they still have things that, if you notice now, are peaking, not just, you know, in wrestling world, but within mainstream sports world. You know, that stuff with The Miz last week, you know, that was all over. That just wasn't on the wrestling blogs and things like that. You know, stuff with Brock Lesnar, you know, things with this thing with, you know, Kevin Owens, even if it's the fact that ESPN was making fun of his son, it does crossover appeal that the WWE hasn't had in a very long time. So in that regard, I think, you know, it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, now ESPN's covering WWE full time now instead of just having, you know, a segment in SportsCenter. They're an actual section now. Even though in the past 2 years we've had Sporting News cover wrestling, we have SI covering wrestling. Will it ever get back to the heyday of the Attitude Era or even the Hulk Hogan era?
You know, I think there are signs that maybe they want to go there. Maybe that's the reason why they have the network. You know, the reason that it went so, you know, PG for a while or afterwards was, you know, the sponsors and things like that. So the more mainstream you are, the kind of more you have to dial it down. I don't think they ever get maybe back to the Attitude Era because that was some wild, you know, stuff. Sometimes I go into the network and watch some of the old Raws and stuff like that. They were doing some things. I don't think you're going to see any women going through tables and things like that. I mean, that was some physical, like, abuse. I mean, that was some crazy stuff going on. But I do think there's more of a edge to to the WWE now, and I think that's because the way they're using NXT, they're bringing these guys up, not just young people or young wrestlers, they're bringing up these experienced guys like AJ Styles and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and these guys know what they're doing. They know how to wrestle in a way that looks like Impact, you know, wrestling, where it's not, you know, just kind of punch and kick, you know, type of wrestling, but still safe. So I don't think we ever get back to the Attitude Era, but I do think with this influx of international talent, this influx of independent talent that is coming in, it's really giving them a shot in the arm.
Are you shocked that Kevin Owens is the Universal Champion? Because he's a heavyset guy. He looks like the guy in the bar drinking beer or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, he's heavy. He's not the bodybuilder type. Not Vince McMahon's type. So are you shocked that he's a champion?
No. Mm-hmm. And I tell you why. Because I think what the WWE found out with Daniel Bryan is that you got to pay attention to your audience. Now, I say that, and then they tried to shove Roman Reigns down our throat for like 2.5 years. The thing that they did with Finn Balor, you know, the thing that they've done with Kevin Owens, the thing that they've done with Ambrose, you know, you wouldn't think of Ambrose as a person that would hold a title. I think they're starting to understand that, hey, you can't ignore the popularity of some of these guys. And no, they may not look like Roman Reigns. They may not look like John, you know, Cena. But you see, you know, I think AJ Styles is going to be a champion soon. You know, you have to pay attention to your audience. And the audience, I think, now is dictating who should be the champions, who that they like, dislike. You see, the New Day was dead in the water for, you know, longest period of time, and they let them be themselves. And now, you know, they've had the tag team champions for 300 some odd days. They sell more merchandise, almost. They're selling as much merchandise, last time I checked, as Cena, which is unheard of, you know, in the WWE. You got three black guys and, you know, one of them playing a trombone. So I think they still have these issues with, you know, where they still let the Brock Lesnar's and the Randy Orton's and the John Cena's kind of, you know, hang around. But I do believe that at least we see now that they are giving more opportunities to people that, you know, bust their butt in the ring.
You brought up the New Day. I brought up Shinsuke Nakamura, and the WWE is getting more of an international flavor here. Do you like where it's going? Like, do you like the diversity now that's in the WWE, or do you think they need more minorities in this?
To me, you never. I would like for them to have more minorities that don't play minority characters, if you know what I mean. I think the great thing about the New Day was originally they tried to force them into what they thought was a stereotypical, you know, three black people, three black wrestlers, instead of just letting them be what they are, which are silly, funny, you know, just natural, you know, just being themselves. And I think you're seeing that more often that now when the guys go to NXT, like Nakamura, like Samoa Joe, like Finn Balor, like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they're just letting them be. You know, they're letting them be what they were to become popular. You know, AJ Styles, all of these. They're just letting them be what already they're popular. So when they come into the WWE, they come to Raw, they come to SmackDown, they already have a fan base. The wrestling fan is very smart, and they're very loyal, and they're knowledgeable. I mean, they know who Nakamura was before he even came in. So you don't have to change him. You don't have to change Finn. They knew about the Demon, you know, beforehand. So I think the fact that they're letting these guys just be, you know, is the best, you know, the best thing that they can do, because just their raw personalities will show who they are, be if they're from Canada, be if they're black, be if they're, you know, from Japan, just letting them be.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to see next in WWE? Like what type of storyline, what type of personality do you want to see next on there?
Well, you know, I think the most important thing in my mind, and it's always been in my mind, is just, you know, make sure what you're doing makes sense. And then also, you know, pay attention to your audience. You know, Kevin Owens is a heel, but, you know, the audience was chanting, "You deserve it," because they know how hard he works. Same thing for Finn, so, you know, same thing for AJ. You know, they clap for the New Day because, you know, they generally feel this is how they are. So at this point, I think it's very important that they just continue that. They continue to let these guys be. They continue to give opportunities, to people that the crowd is reacting to. And I'm not saying you got to bury somebody like Roman Reigns, but just let it happen, you know, naturally. Let him, work his way up to where, the crowd feels like, they don't have to boo him.
Okay, before I forget, you mentioned ESPN, which is specifically Amin Elassan, made fun of Kevin Owens' kid.
Mm-hmm.
Did that go too far? Or what? Because it kind of blew up here, especially wrestling fans who are so fiercely loyal to their guys, They're going to defend them to the end, but did that go too far? Should Amin have apologized at some point?
Absolutely. Here's my thing for when stuff like that happens. The people that say, oh, well, it's fake or it's script. These are the same people that live and die by The Wire, live and die by, these shows on HBO or Netflix, or live and die by a movie series or a book series, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, or whatever, right? So all of that stuff is fake, right? But when they, talk about Jon Snow or they talk about Harry Potter or they talk about, we talk about power with 50 Cent and all of these guys, no one ever says, well, it's fake, it's fake.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody says that. So obviously Kevin Owens has had a conversation with his kid, so he knows that when he's getting beat up in the ring, it's not, he's not really getting beat up. But
yeah,
just like anything else, when you get a trophy, or you're at the top of whatever, if you're Denzel Washington, you Samuel L. Jackson, you're getting the Oscar or whatever, you're at the top of your industry, right? Nobody says, well, he was acting, he got an Oscar, but it wasn't real. Nobody says that. So yeah, these guys are first off, they're physically better than many of the athletes playing actual sports. They're more physically, athletically talented, but they're also acting, they're also, pulling out emotion. And when you get that championship, that means you're at the top of your industry. And I don't care what industry it is, media, wrestling, football, whatever. If you're on the top of your industry, your child is going to be proud. When my daughter sees me on ESPN asking questions to LeBron, she's proud. Nobody's like, oh, well, he just got a website. Nobody says that.
Right,
I mean? It doesn't,
right.
you're a kid. You're happy for your parent doing something that you could say, hey, you could go tell your other friends. When my daughter sees me, she goes to, at the lunch table, and what your dad does. Oh, he was on TV last night, or he blew up this story last night. So you don't think that kid could go to his, Kevin Owens' kid can go to school and be like, my dad's WWE heavyweight champion of the world. That's cool. And to me, it's very dismissive. But I've learned not to, especially on social media, I've learned not to argue with people. Because it goes around in circles, it doesn't get anything accomplished. If you don't like wrestling, fine. That's your business. But I'm a big wrestling fan. I like the fans of wrestling. I like the actual wrestlers. I get enjoyment out of it. So if you don't like that, hey, that's on you. I don't really care, about that. But you shouldn't at any time ever make fun of somebody's, child. Because you definitely wouldn't want anybody to do that to your child.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? Yeah, I like wrestling. That's obvious. We talked about it here. It's part of mainstream now. I have wrestler friends, and there is no way I will disrespect them and say, hey, the stuff that you do is so fake. No, I'm not going to do that to them, And I wouldn't do that to anybody's, occupation, really. It's like, I respect them for what they do, whether you work at Walmart or whether you're a WWE wrestler or whether you're the CEO of Black Sports Entertainment, of Black Sports Online Entertainment. So, Robert, go ahead and plug your stuff online, wherever you can see on TV, maybe. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Once again, first off, thank you for having me on. As you can see, I like coming on your show because I keep it real. I don't have to be all stuffy and stuff. But you can, obviously check out blacksportsonline.com. We're doing sports and entertainment. We're trying to give it a unique perspective. We're trying to fight the good fight, try to get the messages and everything out. Follow me on Twitter, at BSO. Simple. The Facebook and Instagram of Black Sports Online, very easy to remember. And if you're into Snapchatting and things like that, I'm on Snapchat, Robert Littal. That's normally when I do my traveling and things like that. People can catch up with what I'm doing. I'm actually headed off to Denver next week for the NFL kickoff. Going to give me some edible weed because I'm the boss and I don't drug test myself. So, that should be interesting. And so you can follow along on Snapchat and see all the stuff that's going. Oh, no, I won't be taking the weed while covering the game. If anybody watching or listening, it'll be after though. You're gonna come to the hotel. You're gonna have some fun. It's okay. It's not gonna hurt you. It's just weed.
but you're free to partake in that activity if you want to come on the podcast the next time though. It's okay. I don't drug test either. So Robert, you're always keeping it real. I always enjoy you having you on my podcast. So thanks again, man. We'll talk again soon. Cool?
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, thanks.
Hey, this is Glenn Moore from Cleveland, Ohio, the host of the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show, and you're tuned in to Ray Ray is Fundamental, probably the best podcast on the West Coast, if not the whole USA.
Got a secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you save. Better lock it in your pocket, taking this one to the grave. If I show you, then I know you won't tell what I said. 'Cause two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
So I have Adam Reisinger back here, and we've been talking about this for a while now, but we never got to knock it out for a podcast, so here we are. But Adam Reisinger is a big fan of Pretty Little Liars, and basically so am I, but honestly, I haven't really watched it since the start of season 5. But here's the thing, like, how did you find out about this show?
Okay, so this is going to be even more embarrassing than admitting I'm a fan of Pretty Little Liars, but I was a huge fan of Charmed back in the day.
Oh, that's not a problem.
Like, obsessive. And so when I saw that Holly Marie Combs was going to be on this new show on ABC Family, even though she was playing a mom, which is super depressing to me, you know, because, I mean, it makes me feel old. Like,
right.
You know, at least on Charmed, she was a mom of, like, babies. And, like, now she's going to be a mom of, like, high school kids. It's just like, oh. But I was like, well, I got to watch. And I started watching, and I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever, and I can't stop watching. It was the new Gossip Girl for me. Because it was like, mm-hmm. It was that kind of silly drama, except amped up because there was like murder involved, and Gossip Girl never really had that.
Right. Here's the thing, like, I was on Twitter and people would keep bugging me about the show. It's like, oh, you should watch the show, it's great! Shay Mitchell's really pretty! And I'm like, who is Shay Mitchell? What is this Pretty Little Liars thing? Whatever, right? So, finally, I gave in. I don't know what year it was, but I finally gave in and I bought the DVDs, like the first two seasons or whatever. And you're right, I couldn't stop watching. And it's like, it was like a murder drama disguised as a teen drama, really. That's what it looked like to me, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is like, oh, awesome. Like, Shay Mitchell is hot. But the point that kept me going here was Ashley Benson initially. Because here's the thing, like, I'm not sure if she's going to listen to this podcast, and I hope not, and I never really told her this, but a girl that I dated for like a year or so reminds me of Ashley Benson. That's why I kept going! There's your reason for Ashley Benson right there. But Shay Mitchell, like, goodness sake, like, you know, I couldn't decide between her and Ashley, so.
See, whereas for me, I'm Team Spencer all the way. And my number two would be Aria.
We're kind of opposites there.
And I know you love Ashley Benson and she's hot, let's just be honest. There's no other way to put it. I just can't stand Hannah. She is just way too stupid for me.
I understand that. And I think that's what I was kind of endearing to. It's like, oh my gosh, she's so stupid, it's great. I don't know. And
like, there are times when the show tries to lampshade her stupidness by having her acknowledge that she's saying something stupid or that somehow her stupid idea worked out. But it's just like, it hurts my brain. Like, and literally there was a point when I was watching the show and having a drinking game where I would drink every time Hannah said or did something stupid, and that just gave me alcohol poisoning. And so I was like, yeah, I'm done with that. That can't happen anymore.
So, they have a 6th and 7th seasons coming up. They're already on season 6, right? I'm not even sure anymore.
Yeah, they're on season 6, and in halfway through season 6, they finally wrapped up the A story. We found out who A was for real, like, not just the Mona misdirect and all that, like, and it was actually a pretty interesting reveal and, you know, touched on a lot of, kind of fascinating societal issues, which I thought was really impressive for a show that has been rather vapid at times. And then they did this 5-year time jump, which was fascinating too, because you got to see the girls in you know, whole new situations, and I mean, really end up just being whole new hairstyles, because they end up back in town almost instantly. Like, we skipped the 5 years where they were off doing interesting stuff, and then they're back in town dealing with murder again. But what was funny to me is because I was at a panel at New York Comic Con last year where they were talking about it, and all the girls were excited because this is kind of a Saved by the Bell 90210 situation where you've got a bunch of, you know, mid to late 20-year-olds playing high schoolers, and right. after the 5-year age jump, they were essentially getting to play closer to their ages, except for the girl who plays Allison, who actually was that age and is now, like, trying to play an older girl. And for some reason, it doesn't work. Like, I can't get past the fact that she's actually, like, 5 years younger than what she's trying to be.
Because I was going to say, like, how long can Troy and Belisario play a high school girl? Right? Because
well, for me, forever, because she can do nothing wrong. But
oh, that's true. But, like, she's I think she's 30 years old now, right, I believe?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, so I wondered why they would have a season 6 and a season 7. I was like, oh, are they going to go to college or something like that? Like, it was going to be weird for me, you know, because they couldn't play high school girls forever. But I guess they did the 5-year jump, and I guess that solves everything, right?
Yeah, and they also got past, because that's always been the biggest failing of any show that starts in high school, is that when you send your characters off to college, the show loses something. And so they just smartly skipped over college.
Right. I mean, I felt that way when 90210 went beyond high school.
Yeah.
And after that, I kind of lost it. Like, okay, I don't want to watch it anymore, you know? That sort of thing. But here's the thing with Pretty Little Liars. It's like they had so many convoluted plot twists. Like, in the end, does this still make sense to you? Because for some reason, I thought they all made sense to me.
It's one of those things where it stopped making sense at some point, and then they brought it all back together, and it's like, okay, well, that by the end of the A story, it made sense within the twisted world of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think if you just sort of explained it to someone that hadn't watched the show, they'd be like, what are you talking about? This is some nonsense.
Yeah, because I'm trying to find holes in the story. And for some reason, I just can't remember any.
The biggest holes are that, like, if they had just been honest up front with what was happening, like, none of this would have happened. But
the
whole concept is Pretty Little Liars, and the lies just fold in on themselves and become bigger and bigger, and it reached a point really in, like late season one, where the lies had raveled up so deeply that they couldn't just come out and tell the truth and be like, okay, well, this is really what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so are you surprised at how popular, how long it's lasted?
I am a bit, just because it's one of those shows where the ratings are solid, but they're not great. But the social media has the connection with the fans on social for the show has just been so strong that has really driven a lot of the success of the show.
Because, like, I see girls like, you know, like, okay, Shay and Ashley, like, they have, like, 10 million followers on Instagram. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And
There are more people that care about the show on social than actually watch the show, which is weird to me.
Right. Because,
like, the numbers just don't add up. Like,
yeah, they're not, like, rating starlings or anything like that. It's like, maybe they're the best rated show on ABC Family, I don't know, but, you know, it's not like anything mind-blowing, you know what I mean? And the thing is, like, because they're the only celebrities I follow on Instagram, honestly. Well, I guess besides Kristen Ledlow, because they're a friend of ours, but
shout out to the podcast.
Yeah, but they're the only celebrities I follow on there, and it's like, 10 seconds later, like, Shay Mitchell has, like, 10,000 likes on Instagram. I'm like, what the hell? How does that even happen? It's amazing how popular they are. You know, I mean, I get because they're hot, but, I mean, still. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so, like, I'm just looking at the numbers right now, and the mid-season debut of Pretty Little Liars had 2.25 million viewers for ABC Family, which is now known as Freeform. The Twitter account for the main, just for the series alone, has 3.22 million followers. Now, obviously, Twitter is worldwide, and the ratings are just U.S., but, like, when you add up the people who follow the PLL account, and then all the individual Stars accounts, it's like, clearly these people know about the show and care about it, but, like, why aren't they watching it? Or are they just watching it online? Like, are they just catching up off season? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but, well, I definitely know I catch up usually on DVDs and everything like that. That's why I watch, or Netflix or something like that, you know? That's why I watch it.
Yeah.
Because there are only a few times where I would honestly catch up and then watch it live or whenever it first shows up, you know? That's only happened a few times with me. But, yeah, it's just weird to me how I guess popular this show is and how it's gonna last 7 seasons.
Yeah.
You know? Most TV shows don't even last, like, 3 seasons or 4, you know? Saved by the Bell lasted 5 seasons. That's different, but still. You know? Gossip Girl lasted 6.
Yeah, right? And 6 was the 6th season was only, like, a half season.
Yeah. The OC lasted 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And I know that was a popular show.
No, this has been the longest show in this network's history. And
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's just insane. Like, I don't know. Like, there's so many twists to the story. There's just so many convoluted stories, and somehow it's lasted this long. And I can't figure out how they've managed to weave it all the way back when they finally make a reveal or something like that. It's just insane to me, you know. So, I don't know. What else can you say about the show, really?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's such a guilty pleasure, and. Like, you can't really fault anyone that enjoys it, and I'm not just saying that because I enjoy it, and I don't want people to yell at me. but, like, it's just trashy fun.
I guess that's the best way to describe it, right? It's just trashy fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have a, I guess, compelling murder plot. You have hot women on the show. I mean, where else can you go wrong, right?
You really can't.
You really can't, so... Yeah, I once I catch up on Pretty Little Liars, I guess I'll tell you what I think about. But at the same time, it's like, what's the use of telling you? We're just like, no matter how the plot ends or whatever, we're just gonna be like, well, that was fun.
Exactly.
Right? That's how we're gonna end it. So, all right, thanks.
All right. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Molded.